Tonight, and let's turn to the word of the Lord and let's see what the Lord will do in this service tonight. We're going to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And we want to talk about the power of the word of God tonight. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, everybody said, we may boldly say, and that word boldness there, or the word bold here, means confidence or assurance. Amen. We're not just saying it with a verbal emphasis, we're saying it from our heart. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. There is something about boldly speaking the word of God that God will back us up when we speak it in a word of faith. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. And let's get into the word of the Lord, and let's see what the Lord will do in this house tonight. I believe that God's promises are real, and God's promises are sure. Anybody feel that way tonight with me? That the promises are sure, that God's promises are real, and what God has said, he will do. Amen. We have a couple of different words that are in the world today. One is the bestseller of all books, and it is the Bible. It is the Word of God. Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. There is something about the Word of God that is sure and it is strong. And when the Word of God goes forth, when God speaks a word, it happens exactly as God spoke it. Amen. In the beginning, we can see the awesome power of the Word of God. It is so awesome. It is so wonderful that really, when you think about it, it almost takes your breath away. As they say, it is breathtaking, but it was really breathtaking when God created all things. The Bible says there was nothing created that was not created. Amen. God created everything, in other words, and everything was spoken into existence. God spoke to Job, and God told Job, he said, were you there when the sons of God shouted for joy? Amen. Were you there when I spoke the word? Almost get the feeling in the creation that it was something. I know it was in the preordained plan of God, but I got a feeling that there was a great rejoicing in heaven, that when God assembled all of the millions of angels that he had created, and they were not just praising him for who he was. All of a sudden, God would say, let there be light. Amen. And right before all of their eyes, light appeared. And maybe all across the the width and the breadth of the angelic host, a rolling praise began to come up from all of the voices of those angels as they began to shout for joy as God created the light. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but when we come and we begin to praise the Lord, we begin to feel the Lord. Does anybody feel the Lord here tonight? Or did you feel the Lord in the worship and in the praise? I can almost sense that when God spoke the light into existence and the sons of God, the angels of heaven, began to shout with joy, that God then helped it to crescendo a little bit, and he said, let there be a heaven and an earth. Amen. And all of a sudden, the earth appeared, and the shout of the angels went a little octave higher, praise God, as they shouted for joy. And then the Lord said, let there be grass and herbs and trees. And as they popped into existence, the angels of heaven began to shout, and they began to praise the Lord with joy. Amen. While he was creating with the power of his word. Amen. There is something awesome about the word of God tonight. I thank God for his word. I thank God for the awesome power of the word of God. And not only did God create all things, amen, he brought into existence a New Testament church. Well, praise the Lord. He paid for it at Calvary, and he brought forth a church. I wonder what was going on in heaven on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out and the Spirit of God began to move and fulfill the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament, and tongues of fire came down on their heads. Amen. I got a feeling it was the power of God that came down on them and filled them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because they were in tune with the Spirit of God, and they were excited about what God had planned and what God had spoken. Amen. God said in Joel 2:28, he said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. As God spoke the word, and just a little later, he fulfilled the word. And when he fulfilled the word, they were shouting, and they were praising God, and they were giving God the glory for the power of his word and the fulfillment of the word of God. Aren't you thankful tonight for the word of God? Well, praise the Lord. We need to be lovers of the word of God. Oh, thank God for his word tonight, because it can create in us a new spirit. It can create in us a new heart. Amen. Matthew 21:19, the Bible tells us, when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Amen. Why did it do that? Because the word of God spoke to it. It was the word of God that went forth concerning that one particular tree. Amen. That is the power of the word of God tonight. In John chapter 7 and verse 46, the officers answered. They went back to their masters. They had sent them to get Jesus. And they answered and said, never man spake like this man. Amen. They said, oh, are you going to be his disciples as well? They said, well, we've never heard anything like this before. We've never heard a word like this in our whole lives. Amen. Friend, I want to tell you, there is nothing like the word of God. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Do you love the word of God tonight? Well, do we love it enough to read it during the course of the week? Do we love it enough to say amen and to let it resonate in our heart when we hear the word preached? Oh, I thank God for preaching tonight. It is the preaching that saved my soul. Amen. It is the word of God that has changed me. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm sure not what I used to be. And it is because of the creative power of the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. And to some, the word of Jesus was crazy and ludicrous. The words that he said to them had no value or meaning. Amen. Because they had another agenda in mind. They had something else in their heart. It was not to do the will of God. Amen. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible said that they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and Herodians to catch him in his words. To catch him in his words. They tried it in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41. And before they ever got started, I want to look at that for just a moment here tonight, because you're never going to ascend above the word of God. And the Bible tells us that God is not mocked. That you cannot mock God, and you cannot mock the church of God. You cannot mock the things that God is doing and get by with it. There's not anyone in the world that is smart enough or wise enough to out-talk God. Amen. Or to out-reason God. God's word is going to stand forever. Amen. I want to go with the word of God. Jesus talked about it here, and he said, when the Pharisees were gathered together, verse 41, 22 and verse 41, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. Well, he was baiting them. He knew what they believed. They said, why, he is the son of David. And so the Lord asked them, he said, well, how then does David in spirit, in the Holy Ghost, how does he call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies my footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Praise the Lord. How could he call him Lord? Capital L. He said, how could he call him Lord? And they knew what that word Lord meant. It meant God. Amen. How could David call him God when he was the son of David? They looked as confused as you're looking right now. Praise the Lord. That he could be his son, and he was the son of David. He came out of the lineage of David. Amen. He was of the tribe of Judah, which was the tribe that David was from. Amen. And he was born of Mary. He was born of a woman. Praise God. But David could call him Lord because he was Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. He could be God and he could be the son of David at the same time. He was God and he was man at the same time. And he was really talking about himself. And when he spoke these words to the Pharisees, these are the religious people, the people who knew the word of God forwards and backwards, and all of that, it says, and no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. They were afraid need to ask him any questions because all he had to do was speak a little word and their minds were confused and their words were confused. Why? Because they did not recognize that he was the great creator of the world standing right there in their midst. Oh, praise God. He was in the world, the Bible says, and the world was made by him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh, praise God. He was the great creator of the world who came down and robed himself in flesh and came and died on the cross for us. But they did not recognize who he was because they were not of God and they were not of the Word of God. These were those who justified themselves. These are those who justified their own actions. And Jesus said they despised other people because they themselves thought that they were good and righteous in their own hearts. Amen. What we need tonight, folks, to center us in our life and to center us in our walk with God is the power of the Word of God. In one instance, Jesus talked about two men. Amen. And one of them was standing in the back of the church. And the Bible says he was a publican. And if you lose, not a Republican, but a publican. Amen. And he was standing in the back of the church, and he had his head down, and he was praying, and he was saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Amen. He was back in the back because he did not feel like he deserved to be up close in the front. Amen. But Jesus said there was one up in the front, and he had his head lifted up in pride, and he was talking to God and instructing God, and he was saying, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I do this, and I do that, and I'm good, and I'm righteous, and I bless you, and all of that." And he said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like that guy in the back of the church. I'm glad I'm not like that dirty, filthy sinner." Amen. And Jesus said, the one in the back of the church went out justified, and the one in the front went out without justification. Oh God, help us tonight. We've got to have the Word of God down deep in our hearts. It's got to be the Word of God that centers us, and the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you want to have a place to point fingers and blame others or accuse others, just look at any person you meet. Whether they're on the street or whether they're in the church, and you'll be able to say, "Guilty, guilty, guilty." But I want to tell you, friend, when you come into the house of God, be careful that you don't point fingers and say guilty. Amen. Because there is something that's in the house of God that is not in the world, and it's called grace. Well, praise the Lord. It's called forgiveness. Amen. It is called justification. Amen. Where God accepts us and God forgives us like he forgave that prodigal son. Amen. Just openly accepted him and gave him a place of total, complete restoration back to that relationship with God. And that's what we're rejoicing about here tonight, is the fact that the Word of God has told us these things, and we can rejoice in them. And what we need to do, as the scripture said that we read tonight, that we may be bold, amen, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. The Bible gives us some things here. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, for they that have used the office of a deacon. Everybody said a deacon. Praise the Lord. They've used the office of a deacon well, purchased to them a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Where do we get the boldness? We get the boldness from the understanding of what the Word of God is. The Word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is the very thing that God uses to create, that God uses to destroy, that God uses to build up and to put down. It is by the Word of God, the Bible says, that everything is held in its place. The earth is held in its place by the Word of God. The sun is held in its place by the Word of God. The universe is held in its place by the Word of God. And in fact, the Scripture says that there will be a day when the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll and that the heavens will fall upon the earth. Amen. And great calamity will come upon this earth. Amen. But there is one thing, if the heavens and the earth pass away, if the universe passes away, and the earth passes away, the Word of God will stand forever. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. It's going to stand. The Word of God is going to stand, and it has stood, and it will stand. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh God, what is that holiest? That is the holiest of holies. That is the place where God spoke to the priest. And when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, signifying that all men now have access to that holiest of holies. Praise God. And Paul said, therefore, brethren, having boldness, therefore, brethren, amen, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That word boldness there is assurance and confidence. Amen. We have confidence tonight. Amen. We have confidence tonight that what we believe is right and what we believe is going to stand because it is the Word of God. It was not made up by man. It was not put together by man. Amen. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And it became a reality, and it became something that is very, very strong. And what we need is the boldness that comes from the understanding of the truth and the power of the truth. Amen. It is not just an understanding, but it gets a hold of us and it comes out of us. It is a part of us. It is the very thing that motivates us to live the way we do and to think the way we think. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. If you don't have the Word in you, you'll not have the fire in you. But with the Word of God, we have a fire that is burning. Jeremiah 20 and 9. Jeremiah the prophet got discouraged and he said, I'm not going to speak about God anymore. I'm tired of speaking about God because all they do is persecute me. When I preach, all they do is criticize me. When I minister and I say, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah was one of the prophets that they persecuted, and they threw him into a pit of mud. And there he was in that pit of mud, amen, because he simply was saying what God had said. But what Jeremiah prophesied has come to pass, and he was used of God, and there he is, one of the prophets of the Old Testament, amen. And so put yourself in this place tonight. Put yourself in the place of Jeremiah, of many people criticizing you, and many people putting you down, amen, and criticizing what you preach and what you say. Jeremiah got discouraged, and he said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to prophesy. I'm not going to be used of God. Amen. I'm just tired of the persecution of people and their words. Amen. But as he sat and he prayed and he thought about it, God began to speak to him again. And he said, but his word was in my heart. Oh, praise God. That's the difference in those that are going to make it and those that are not going to make it. If you don't have it in your heart, everybody's going to come to the place where they say, you know what? I am discouraged. Most everybody comes to that place at some point in time where you say, I am discouraged. Amen. But the difference in discouragement and quitting and discouragement and continuing on is what is in your heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Is it in your heart? Is it pride that is in your heart? Is it self that is in your heart? Or is it the word of God? But Jeremiah said, his word was in my heart, and it was as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. What that literally means is that Jeremiah stopped talking, he stopped preaching, he stopped prophesying, he stopped speaking the word of the Lord, and after a while, he said, I got tired of not having anything to say. Amen. I could not keep my mouth shut, and I was weary of forbearing. Forbearing means to stop or to back up. And he said, I got tired of this. Amen. And it began to burn inside of my heart, and it was like a fire shut up in my bones, and I had to go somewhere and preach. Amen. I had to go somewhere and tell somebody the word of God. I could not stay. I could not stop. I had to go forward. And that's what's going to keep you living for God, is the word of God in your heart. Because the moment you stop, the word of God begins to burn on the inside, and you start thinking about the Lord, amen, and start thinking about God's word, and before you know it, the word of God gets you centered in your thinking. It gets you centered in your perception of what's going on around you, and you say, you know what, I'm not going another direction. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to go down this road, amen, because it is the word of God. Thy word is a light to my feet and a lamp unto my pathway. Which way do I go? Which path do I take? Folks, there's a lot of pathways that's going to present themselves in your life. There are a lot of roads, and they fork off to the right and to the left, and they go this way and that way. One preacher was preaching one time, and I heard the story. He was preaching in a service. There was a man in the service that owned one of those older Volkswagens. And he was in the service there, and he was headed in the wrong direction in his life. And the evangelist or the preacher did not know anything about his situation. And he was preaching about the road of life. And he said, as you travel down the road of life on the way to heaven, walking with God on this highway, he said, there's going to be a lot of exits, amen, that present themselves. And he said, you can take your little Volkswagen and you can get off of the exit right there and go straight to hell. Amen. Off of one of those exits. And it spoke to that man's heart. I want to tell you, friend, God knows how to speak to our heart. We just have to have ears to hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. You can't look at the messenger. You've got to look at the message. Amen. You can't judge the word of God by the way someone articulates the word of God, because God will use a Moses who can't speak well, but it is still the word of God. Amen. He may use someone that you would look at and say, I never could believe that God could use this person. In fact, the night I received the Holy Ghost, I actually had it in my mind that I was not going to receive the Holy Ghost unless my pastor was preaching. And because we'd had special preachers come by. And one night, there was a preacher that came. His name was Charles Mahaney. Amen. And he was the ugliest guy I'd ever seen in my life. You get a picture of him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Tuckers probably know who I'm talking about. Was he ugly or not? He was ugly. And he was big old fella. And I thought, when I came into church and that preacher went up on the platform, I thought, well, I'll just have to wait another night to get the Holy Ghost, because I'm sure not going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. And I want to tell you, friend, that man started preaching, and before I knew it, I was at the altar talking in tongues. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost that night. And it taught me something. Amen. That it's not in a man, but it is in the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the place that we get weary in the Lord is when we're not proclaiming the Word of God. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say it anymore. And that's when we get weary. Amen. Because God gives us His Word so that we can give His Word out. Praise God. A church that does not go forward, a church that does not have the joy of the Lord, is a church that is not letting the Word out to its community or communities. But there is something about the joy of the Lord. There is something about the excitement of ministering the Word of God. Amen. I was not able to go to the outdoor outreaches last year, but I understand that everybody was together and excited, and we went out and sang and gave out invitations, and everybody was excited about that. And that's what comes when we reach out with the Word of God. Oh, yes, sometimes it takes effort on our part, but if we're not ministering the Word of God to a lost world, then all it becomes is a program. All it becomes is a church function. All it becomes is something that is under the umbrella of some organization. Amen. And when it is not the work of the Spirit, it can eventually become even a political institution where people become jealous, where people vie for position, and carnality and fleshly things begin to take over the operation of the church. Hello, somebody. Folks, that's not the way God designed the church. He designed the church to walk in the Spirit. He designed the church as a spiritual entity, a channel, if you please, that the Word of God will flow through to a world that is lost without the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I want an exciting church to go to. Well, praise the Lord. I want to go to a church where I feel good about everybody and they feel good about me. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. But if you don't feel good about somebody, the Bible gives us a way out of that too. And it says to forbear one another. Praise the Lord. And that word means put up with. So I'll put up with you if you'll put up with me. Praise God. And eventually we'll find some common ground somewhere and we will get along with each other. Praise the Lord. I think that's the way it ought to be because we're going to go somewhere where we're going to spend eternity together. Praise the Lord. And it might just be that God's building a mansion by that person that you don't want to talk to. And you'll have to be right beside them for eternity. Amen. Well, praise God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. This is the church he's talking about. Our love is made perfect. Amen. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Amen. When God judges us, we will have boldness. And that is not walking up to God and pointing your finger at God and telling God what to do. There is that assurance and confidence. And when we go to the judgment, we can have confidence. Amen. Confidence that God is going to accept us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. Here's how they felt about it. He said, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Amen. Boldness. That's a bold statement right there. But they knew God because they had walked with Jesus Christ. He personally had given them the understanding of the Word of God and gave them understanding in the Scriptures. And the Bible says, we are of God, and whoever knows God is going to hear us. That's what he said. And so we must be apostolic, meaning that we listen to and we believe what the apostles preached. Paul said that if an angel from heaven comes and says anything different than what we preach, he will be accursed of God. Well, praise the Lord. That doesn't mean that we walk around in a haughty attitude. That's not the attitude with which John spoke it here, but there was an underlying assurance and confidence that the Word of God is right. Listen, friend, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name if you're going to be saved. You must have the Holy Ghost if you're going to be saved. You must repent of your sins if you want to be saved. Amen. If we want to be saved, we must cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And some say it's an old-fashioned thing and it is outdated. But I want to tell you, the Word of God is never outdated. The Word of God is true for every generation and for every people. The Word of God will stand. Amen. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And my friend, they were in a great minority in their world. There were some of the churches of Asia that literally the historians and the commentators will say that some of the churches that Paul wrote to in the epistles were people that were meeting in homes. Amen. And some would say, well, it's not a very big group you've got, or there's not a very big attendance at your church. It's not the attendance that makes the difference. It's what you preach that makes the difference. Amen. And I know that you don't put as much salt as you do other things. And the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. God just sprinkles a little bit here and there to enhance this world. Amen. I thank God tonight for the young people that live for God at school. Anybody else feel that way tonight? I am really proud of our young people. I really am proud of those that are living for the Lord and walking with God. You do not understand the value and the message that you're sending to your friends at school. Amen. You really don't understand the full impact. I appreciate every other person here tonight that is serving the Lord. Amen. Because you are making an impact in your world. You really are. Amen. It doesn't matter who I talk to down at the police station. Oh, God, help me. I better not get started here tonight or I'm going to get myself in trouble. But that's a common occurrence with me. So maybe I ought to just go ahead. Amen. It doesn't matter who I talk to down at the station. If I mention Kimberly, or they just say Kim, if I mention Kim, they all say, oh my, that's a fine lady right there. They all do. Amen. And they say about her, amen, that she is really, really making a difference. Amen. I don't think she knows that, but I've had many, many people say that. I'm telling you what, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil comes along and puts down, but the world has a totally different view of the situation. Praise God. The world has a totally different view of the situation. Amen. I want to tell some of you here tonight, and I'm not going to go into details so nobody will know who's who or what's what. But I was talking to one of the young people this week, and they told me, they said, there are four people in this church that I have full confidence in. And they named the four people, and they said, I know that no matter what comes or what goes, they're not going to change. Amen. And if I named your name, you'd probably go, really? Wow, that's neat. But I'm not going to name your name. Praise God. But there are people that are looking at your life. There are people that are watching your life. It's not whether or not you shout and run the aisles, jump up and down and say hallelujah, amen. But what it is over the years of watching you live for God, you're making an impression upon people's lives, and they are talking about you in a very high and a very positive way. Praise the Lord. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in darkness. Amen. So there is the light of the church, and there is the darkness of the world. And what a contrast it is. Amen. When the light comes on in the darkness, it can be seen by everyone, and it doesn't matter how little the light is. Amen. It just matters whether or not it is putting forth light. Mark 16 and verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. they went forth. This is the call to the church. This is the call in the last days, in every generation, is for the church to preach the word of God, and everywhere we go to speak the word of God, and we don't speak it with meekness and mildness, we preach it with boldness and confidence. Praise God. With boldness and confidence. That's not being brash or rude, but it is being with assurance and confidence that we preach the word of God. And notice it says, the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with signs following. Amen. It's amazing to me how someone can preach the word of God. Someone, a man, can preach the word of God. And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. And God takes a man who has sinned and fallen short, and he uses him to preach the word of God, and God backs that man up. Why? Because it is the work of God. It is not the work of man. And I want to tell you tonight, friend, that God sets up and God puts down. And when God puts down, no man can get up. And when God puts up, no man can take it down. Amen. What we need is to get some boldness in our heart with the word of God burning inside this Acts 2:38 message, and to take it to the world. I'll guarantee you tonight that God will confirm it with signs following. Praise the Lord. Every time I've stepped out in faith and spoken the word of God, God has always backed me up. Amen. And he will continue to do that as long as we are serving him and we're pleasing in his sight. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, and I want to finish with this here tonight. Actually, if we go to verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This was there at the mountain. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. This was the mount of transfiguration where Jesus was transfigured before them. And the Spirit of God spoke, the excellent glory spoke, and they heard the voice speaking about Jesus Christ. Amen. But look at verse 19. Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, it doesn't matter what I'm feeling right now, and it doesn't matter what's happening right now. What is solid and secure is the word of God. We heard the word from heaven. We were on the mountain. We saw the cloud. We saw him transfigured before us. But he said, we have something that is even more sure than that experience, and it's the word of God. We can go back to the Old Testament prophecies and we can read a more sure word, because, my friend, the devil will come along as an angel of light. The devil came and quoted scripture to Jesus. He's had a lot longer to study the Bible than you and I have. And he is an angel of revelation and an angel of light. He comes as an angel of light, bringing revelation, bringing golden plates under a tree somewhere, bringing a new philosophy of reincarnation, bringing a new philosophy of humanism, a new age philosophy that there is light within each and every one of us, and all we have to do is find that inner light within us. He is the angel of deception and the angel of revelation. Oh God, help us. Help us. And the Bible says here that there are things that can stir our hearts and take us off of the foundation if we're not careful. What we must do is stand on the Word of God. And everybody said amen. And we must go back to the Word of God. We must go back to the Word of God. And we must stand for God. Amen. By faith. Because the Word, if the Word can keep the earth in its orbit. And the Bible says that the heavens are standing by the Word of God. God said, spin at this speed and at this rotation. And it started and it's still there. And it was the Word of God that stopped it a couple of times. And then when they were done, he went and started it right back in the same orbit again. Amen. It was the Word of God that did that. If the Word of God can do that, and everything is in its place because of God, amen. Doesn't matter what's happening in my world. It's held up by God. It's held up by the Word of God. And until God says anything different, amen. He's not going to say anything different because he's given us the Word of God. And if God speaks to you and God talks to you and someone comes along and says, well, God showed me this, all you got to do for the foundation is pull out the Bible and say, show it to me in the Word of God. Amen. Because the Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God today? Do you love it? Do you love it enough to put it in a place where you can read it regularly? Now, don't get quiet on me here tonight. Is it something that you love enough that you'll get a theme out of the Bible and you'll start studying it out for yourself? Oh, well, that's the pastor's job. No, it's really not the pastor's job. But I'm thankful today that God did call me to preach because I have to get in and study the Word of God. And the more I study it, the more excited I get. I can tell you tonight that when I study for messages to preach at the church after prayer and seeking after the Lord, when God begins to reveal His Word to me, there is just something that burns inside of me. I can feel what Jeremiah felt when he felt that fire burning on the inside. And I sometimes just feel like jumping up out of my chair and running out the back door and running around the house a dozen times. But, you know, it's awful hot in the summer and cold in the winter, so I just keep on studying. Amen. And to deliver the Word of God and to share what God has given you is such an awesome thing. Amen. I was in Bible study here a while back, and it was really striking to me. I'd never seen it happen before. And I said, would you please read this scripture? And it was the scripture where Moses was asking God, and he said, well, if I go, who shall I say sent me? What is your name? And he began to read, and it said, I am that I am. And all of a sudden, it was as though the Holy Ghost came in there, and as they were reading, they just went, and big tears filled their eyes and started coming down their face just as they read the Word of God. I am hath sent me. Praise the Lord. You tell them, I am. And the Holy Ghost came in and touched. Amen. If you want God in your home, get the Word of God in your home. Well, praise the Lord. If you want God in your life, get the Word of God in your life. And the more of the Word that you get in you, the more of God you're going to get in you. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word is truth. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Sister Wurst tells me the story of, has told me the story when she was in grade school and she was trying to learn, was it division? Multiplication or division, one of the two. And she just could not get the concept, could not understand it. And there were a few other students in the class that just couldn't comprehend this. And back in those days, the teacher would stay with you, and the teacher stayed with her after school and said, we're going to work on this until you get it figured out. And I remember my wife telling me the moment that she got the revelation, it was either multiplication or division, and she got a revelation and she saw it. And she tells me about how it was exciting to her. That new revelation came into her life and she could now comprehend this and see it. Has anybody ever had that experience? I have. Amen. I know the rest of you, you know everything already. But I know that in earthly things, when you see something, it just thrills me. I'm thrilled sometimes by God's creation and how perfect it is. And when something is revealed, it just makes you feel excited right there. How much more as we are reading in the Word of God. And not only that, the Bible says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God will be like the teacher that'll stay with you after class and start showing you, well, here, go over here, go over here. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And all of a sudden, it opens up. I remember the day that God gave me a revelation of one God. And some of you have told me the same thing. And even to this day, when I think about one God, it just thrills my soul. Because it's truth. It's revelation. It's light. It's the Word of God. And it's right. And it's going to stand forever. Amen. Because God does not change and His Word does not change. You say tonight, maybe you're saying tonight, well, Pastor, I'm just not as excited. I just don't have the thrill. Well, I'll tell you tonight, friend, if you'll simply just get a hold of the Word of God and get you a good Bible concordance and start studying the Word of God and looking at the Word of God closer than you ever have, you will find light and revelation that will spring up out of that book, and it will thrill you to the point that you'll have to share it with somebody else. Amen. Hey, look at what I saw in the Bible the other day. Have you ever seen this before? Amen. It's so exciting. I never saw it that way before. There it is right there. Praise God. And that's how you keep the fire going. That's how you keep the flame burning in your walk with God, is with revelation. Amen. Because you'll never study enough or read enough that you'll know everything. Amen. We're going to keep right on learning all the way, all the way. Praise God. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise tonight.